We're on Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, and if you count up from the end of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up, 9 lines up from the end of the Amud. Boy Minei Rava Mirav Nachman. Now, we're going to have a number of cases where the Gemara vacillates back and forth in an Erev, where he sets up an Erev with a kikar, with a loaf of bread, and the status of that loaf of bread is going to change on Shabbos. So we're going to have to figure out whether the status of that loaf of bread changes during Bein HaShemashos or only after Bein HaShemashos. And once we make that determination, we can figure out whether or not the Erev is valid or not. Kikar zu hayom chol ulemachar kodesh. So he has a loaf of bread that's chulin, which he's allowed to eat, but on a Friday he declares that tomorrow, meaning on Shabbos, it should become kodesh. Now, once it's hegdesh, he's not allowed to eat it. So now the question is going to be, if Omar Eruvo Li Bazeh, he tells a shliach to take this loaf of bread, this kikar, and designate it as an Erev Mahu. Right? On the one hand, right now, it's Chol, but on Shabbos, it's going to become Kodesh. Now he's allowed to eat it, it's Chulin. But with the entry of Shabbos, it becomes Kodesh, Hegdesh, and he's not allowed to eat it. And it would seem, by the way, that you're allowed on Erev Shabbos to make a kinyan that will be chal on Shabbos itself. This, by the way, is a tremendous issue in Hilchas Shabbos. And this was, if I'm not mistaken, machlokas between Rabbi Kiveger and the Nesivis, if I remember correctly, whether or not you're allowed to, on Erev Shabbos, set up a kinyan that'll be chal on Shabbos. We don't do kinyanim on Shabbos. That's a violation of an Issa d'Rabbanan. But what if he does the Maisa kinyan on Erev Shabbos, and the Chalosa kinyan is on Shabbos? So Rabbi Kiveger understood that that would be asur, because he cannot create a Chalos kinyan on Shabbos. And the Nesivis, if I'm not mistaken, said that the Issa is the Maisa kinyan. The fact that the Chalos HaKinyan will coincide with Shabbos is not a problem. So that according to Rabbi Kiveger, when our Gemara discusses the validity of the Eruv, this has nothing to do with the issue of as to whether or not he was allowed to do what he did. The Gemara is only asking, at what moment in time is the Hegdish Chal? Is the Hegdish Chal during Bein HaShemashos? Because again, Bein HaShemashos is Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. So let's assume that Bein HaShemashos has a status of Laila, which would mean that already at Bein HaShemashos the Hegdesh is Chal, right? Because he said Ulamachar Kodesh, that on Shabbos it should be Hegdesh. So that during Bein HaShemashos, if we assume that Bein HaShemashos is already Laila, then before the Erev could be Kone Shvisa at Bein HaShemashos, it's already Hegdesh. That's if we assume that Bein HaShemashos is Laila. If on the other hand we would assume that Bein HaShemashos is not Laila but it's Yom, then he could be Kone Shvisa at Bein HaShemashos, because right now it's still Chulin and it's not yet Hegdish, it's Mutar B'Achila, because the Hegdish is only going to be Chal at the end of Bein HaShemashos, if we assume that Bein HaShemashos is Yom. Amar Leh, so Rav Nachman responds to Ravah, he says, Eruvo Eruv. Which sounds like Rav Nachman is assuming that Bein HaShemashos is not Laila. In other words, the new day, which is called Lamachar, has not yet emerged, and it will only commence after Bein HaShemashos. So at the moment of Bein HaShemashos, the status of this kikar is that of chulin. It's only lemachar kodesh, meaning after Ben Hashmoshes, when it becomes Vare Laila, that's when it becomes Hegdesh. So the Erev at Ben Hashmoshes was chulin, and therefore the Erev is valid. However, Rav is going to ask a second question of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman is going to paskin just the reverse, that the Erev is not valid. What's the second case, the second scenario that Rav asks Rav Nachman? Again, it's Erev Shabbos, and he declares about this kikar hayom kodesh, today on Friday it should be kodesh, ulamachar, but tomorrow on Shabbos, it should be chol. Now again, in order to make it chol, he needs what's called a pidyon, meaning we have a principle called Hegdesh lo paka bichdi. Hegdesh, you can't set up Hegdesh for a certain period of time and say, well, let this be Hegdesh for today or for 30 days. And on day 31, it reverts back to its status as chol. The Gemara Nedarim establishes, that's a famous statement of Bar Poda, that cannot be done. So he's going to have to do a pidyon with the entry of Shabbos. And apparently he's got Mos in his house, and he says that with the entry of Shabbos, these Mos should now serve as Mos pidyon. And the status of Hegdesh of the Kikar should now be transmitted over to the Mos. And once again, the Omar, he says to his Shliach, Eruve Li B'Kikar Zeh Mau. What's the status of this Kikar? Is it Mutar B'Achila during Ben Hashmoshes, or is it Hegdesh and it's Osir B'Achila? On the one hand, it has a Chazakah of being Hegdesh, because today on Friday he declared that it's Hegdesh. And if that be the case, when we enter into Ben Hashmoshes and we maintain the status quo of the Kikar, it would invalidate the Eruv. On the other hand, if we assume, as Rav Nachman seems to have assumed in the first question, we'll go over that just in a minute, that Ben Hashmoshes is considered Laila, and therefore, in the case of Kikar Zu Ayom Chol Ulamachar Kodesh, Rav Nachman said that the Erev is valid because Machar Kodesh means that Ben Hashmoshes is considered, it belongs to the day. So if that be the case, we can begin to understand Omar Le, Rav Nachman says Ein Eruvo Eruv, right? Because if he says Hayom Kodesh in the second case, that means we're going to push off the onset of Shabbos, otherwise known as Lamachar, until the end of the period of Ben Hashmoshes. So that would mean that during Ben Hashmoshes, it still retains its status as Kodesh. So in effect, before we get to the Gemara itself, just trying to sort this out in our minds, we have two different reasons, both of which contribute and overlap to the same conclusion that Ein Eruvo Eruv in the case of Ayom Kodesh L'machar Chol. First of all, we have the halach of Chazakah, which means that right now, on Erev Shabbos, this Kikar has the status of Kodesh. So the entire day Friday it was Kodesh, so therefore any change in the status from Kodesh to Chol, we're going to delay until the last possible moment and postpone it based on Chazakah. And once we do that, we assume that in Ben Hashmoshes, the status of this Kikar was Kodesh, and it's also Bachil, and therefore, hence, the Erev is not valid. Now we have a second reason why we should invalidate this Erev and assume that the status of the Kikar during Ben Hashmoshes is Hegdesh and also Bachilo, and that is based on the definition of Ben Hashmoshes, that Ben Hashmoshes is considered Yom. And if Ben Hashmoshes is considered Yom, then when he says Hayom Kodesh, he's including Ben Hashmoshes in the designation of this Kikar as Kodesh. And if that be the case, that Ben Hashmoshes is Yom, then we can begin to understand Rav Nachman's first ruling in the previous Sofek, namely Kikar Zu Hayom Chol, which means on Friday this Kikar is Chol, then Bein HaShmoshos, if we assume that Bein HaShmoshos is Yom, then with the onset of Bein HaShmoshos, the Kikar is still Chol, and if it's still Chol, it's Mutar B'Achila, and therefore the Erev is valid. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, Maishna, can you explain to me why is it that in the first case of Kikar Zu Hayom Chol, you validated the Erev? In the second case of Kikar Zu Hayom Kodesh, you invalidated the Erev. If Bein HaShmoshos is a Sofek Yom Sofek Laila, then we should be consistent. Meaning, Rav Nachman, you should have always taken either the highway or the byway. In other words, either you're always going to go lechumra or you're always going to go lekula, and you should be consistent about it. For example, if let's say you're going to go lekula as you did in the case of Kikar Zu Hayom Chol, correct? So that's fine. In that case, you want to go lekula and you're going to classify Bein HaShmoshos in terms of its Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, as if it's Yom. However, if that be the case, then if you want to be Mekil, you should be Mekil in the second case as well, and you should therefore say that Bein HaShmoshos is considered Laila. And if Bein HaShmoshos is Laila, then it's Lamachar, and Lamachar is Chol. And if on the other hand, you want to take Bein HaShmoshos in the first case, let's start with the second case. You want to take Bein HaShmoshos lechumra, and therefore by saying lechumra, you want to say that Bein HaShmoshos is yom, and therefore it's hegdesh. Then in the first case of Kikar Zu Hayom Chol, you should go lechumra, and you should assume that Bein HaShmoshos is laila, and already it's lemachar kodesh, and therefore the eruv should be possible. You should either consistently invalidate the eruv or consistently validate the Erev, because basically Bein HaShmoshos can be defined as either Yom or Laila, and either you want to be Mekil in both cases, Mitzad Sofek, or you want to be Machmir in both cases. And by the way, this is very indicative of a Gemara that we once learned in Masechta Shabbos, that when you deal with Bein HaShmoshos as a Sofek, not as an entity unto itself, but as a Sofek, then you go in both directions. You can say it's Mitzad the Sofek, we have to assume it's Yom, or we can say Mitzad the Sofek, it's Laila. There's no Tayati the Sasri here. There's no conflict one way or the other. You can go in both directions, and that's what Rava is arguing to Rav Nachman. Amalei. So Rav Nachman first pushes off Rava. He says, "L'chitechul alei kura de milcha." In other words, go and measure out a kura's worth of salt, and pay me a kura's worth of salt, and I'll give you the explanation. Now, all the mafarshim point out that this is only a kind of an idiomatic phrase. Because the halacha is that we don't charge money for Torah. And therefore Rashi tries to offer a different interpretation. He says that even if you work very hard until you'll be able to extract enough melach that it'll come up to a kur, then you still will not really understand my distinction. So in a sense, he was pushing him off by saying that, you know, you'll never really figure this out on your own. He was kind of giving him a little bit of a shtach. And the reason why you're not allowed to take money for teaching Torah, and therefore we cannot take this phrase literally, is because in Parshas Vaschana that we read yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'e limadati hayom, Chukim, Mishpatim, etc. That Chazal say that just like I taught you Bechinam, I didn't charge you for my services in transmitting the Torah, so too you have to transmit the Torah gratis without getting paid for it. And then the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Zayin has a whole sugya how we're allowed to pay teachers of Torah. One of the famous answers is Schar Batola. Others say that you're only allowed to take money for teaching Torah Shebichsav. Others say you can only take take money for teaching young children. So you're basically being paid for babysitting and not for teaching Torah. Whatever the answer is. Anyway, so what is the right answer and the underlying logic and distinction of Rav Nach? He says the following. That Bein HaShmoshos is a Sofek Yom, Sofek Lail. If he says, in the first case, Hayom Chol Ulemachar Kodesh, Misfeka Lo Nachto Le Kedusha. The status of this Kikar is Chulin. Right? He says, Kikar Zu Hayom Chol. Now you want to change the status of the kikar and make it into Kodesh, to Hegdesh, during Bein HaShmoshos, which is a Sufik situation. So the answer is, Misfeka lo nachto le kedusha. We're not going to change the status of the kikar from Chulin to Kodesh, to Hegdesh, mitzad Sufik. Because Chazaka tells me, as we've discussed on many occasions, that you leave the situation status quo, and you delay any change in the status. So therefore, when we get to Bein HaShmoshos, and we don't know whether it's Yom or Laila, we're going to assume it's Yom based on the Chazak of the Kikar, that the Kikar is Chol. And therefore, the Erev is valid, because we're going to delay the change in the status of the Kikar as much as possible until we get to Vaday Laila. And Vaday Laila is going to be after the termination of Bein HaShmoshos, and by then, as we've discussed many times, the Erev is already engraved in stone. But in the second case, Hayom Kodesh, where the status currently of this Kikar, as we get into Bein HaShmoshos, is definitely Hegdesh, Lemachar Chol, and we don't know what the status of Bein HaShmoshos is Misfeka Lo Pokalei Kedushasei Mineh. Once again, we have a Chazaka here of Kodesh. You want to remove the status of Hegdesh with a suffix, we cannot do so, because the chazaka of the status quo vis-a-vis this kikar is Hegdesh. So right now it's Hegdesh. Going to Bein HaShmoshos, we don't know if Bein HaShmoshos may or may not be able to undermine the status of this kikar as Hegdesh and effectuate a pigeon. So we're going to leave the chazaka as is, and since it's Hegdesh now, therefore we assume it's Hegdesh during Bein HaShmoshos. So whereas Rava tried to pin Rav Nachman down and say to him, well, what is Bein HaShmoshos? Is it Laila or is it Yom? Or shall we say, says Rava, that it might be Yom Lekula, and then we should say that it's Laila Lekula. It might be Yom Lechumra, and then we should say it's Laila Lechumra. And this would have brought us back to the whole sugi that we learned last week about Sufik Eruv, whether Sufik Eruv is a Sufik Darabonon, or Sufik Eruv is a Sufik Darais. We said that was Machlokas Rabbein and the Chacham. Now, Rav Chaim, in his Sefer on the Rambam, which I have here, it's the only Sefer that I have in my library that was published in Brisk, and it, to the best of my knowledge, it was the only Sefer that was ever published in Brisk. Anyway, so Rav Chaim has one piece on Eruvin, in Perek Vav, and he writes the following. He says, again, this is just a very superficial summary of Reb Chaim. He says, "Einonu donim es hakikar shadayin los kadsha midin chazaka, ela hu din bifnei atzmo behegdesh." She'eno chal klal elim yiyev vaday hegdesh. Okay, so now Reb Chaim is going to introduce another element into the equation. And he says the following, that it's not the way we interpreted it, says Reb Chaim. Again, you have to see all the proofs. we interpreted it that, let's say in the first case of Kikar Zu Hayom Chol Ulamachar Kodesh, so we said Misfekelo Nachtale Kedusha means that we have a chazaka on the Kikar that today, Friday, it's Chol, and therefore we're not going to be mafkia that status and that chazok of chol during Bein HaShemashos. So Reb Chaim says, no. That's not the pshat. This is not a din of hachra sveikos, right? When you apply chazokah, my chazokah is not really a clarification of sveikos. It's only a separate din that the Torah says, bless brayer, you don't know what to do. So the halacha says, act as if the chazaka tells you what to do. That's like a din anhag. But the gufo shel safek remains an outstanding safek. So if you ask me whether or not this kikar that he said, lamachar kodesh, was already hegdesh at the time Bein HaShemashos, I don't really have an answer to that question. That's midine sveikos. Says Reb Chaim Nen. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is that we are interpreting his intention as a magdish. What does that mean? Hegdesh, like any other kinyan, is defined by the intention of the makne. So for example, if I want to transfer ownership to you, then we have to interpret that transaction in the light of my das, my intention. Same thing applies to hegdesh. That Hegdesh is a transfer of ownership. It goes from my personal ownership into the ownership of Hegdesh. And that Hegdesh and its chalos will be defined by my das. And Hegdesh is chal through das. In the case of Hayom Chol Ulamachar Kodesh, forget about when Rosh Chodesh, you know, which Haftorah we read, when Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. But Lamachar Kodesh, in that case, when a person is magdish something, his intention is that it should become Hegdesh Vadai. He wants it to become Hegdesh when we know for sure it'll be Hegdesh. He doesn't want a wishy-washy suffic Hegdesh. So his das is that Misfekelo Nachtale Kedusha. That's how Reb Chaim wants to interpret it. That Misfekelo Nachtale Kedusha, in the language of the Gemara, means that it's not going to become a Hegdesh because of a Suffolk. There is no such thing. A person is never Magdish something that should become a Hegdesh because of Suffolk. So forget about the classic understanding of Chazokas here, as if to say we're in a Suffolk situation, we're very confused whether or not the Hegdesh is Chal Bein HaShemashos, or it's not Chal until after it gets Vadei Laila. No. We're not dealing with a suffix and we're trying to be noeg like the chazaka that since on Friday it was chol, therefore Bein HaShemashos it's considered chol because we delay any change because of the laws of chazakas and hanogas, and therefore the Erev is valid. Nein, this Erev is valid not midin suffix and chazaka. And the status of the kikar is not chol mitzad suffix because of chazaka, but rather we're going to say that ein adam magdish davar ad she vaday hegdish, that a person does not have das to be magdish something unless he knows for sure it's definitely going to be hegdish. And if there's going to be any doubt about it, then he doesn't want it to be hegdish. When does this hegdish become vaday hegdish? That's only mishachashecha after the period of Bein HaShemashos, when we've left Safek Yom Safek Laila Bein HaShemashos and we're in vaday Laila, then. And only then does he want the Hegdish to be Chal. So it comes out according to Reb Chaim's understanding. And again, if we go through the Reb Chaim inside, we'll see the Nafkaminas here. But Reb Chaim is saying we're not dealing with Dine Sveikas, and we're not dealing with operating with Chazokas, but rather we're operating with Dinim and Hegdish. And the Din and Hegdish is going to force us to apply the principle of Misfekelo Naftale Kedusha. It cannot become Hegdish Mitzad Safek because a person, when he's Magdish something, he doesn't want the Hegdish to be Chal unless it becomes Vadei Hegdish. He doesn't want a wishy-washy Safek Hegdish. And therefore, the Hegdesh will only be Chal at the end of Bein HaShmashos, when we enter into the period of Adei Laila, and there's no even Safek Hegdesh before Vadei Laila. Okay. Now, other Rishonim, by the way, I'm just going to mention this in passing, possibly Tosis, but certainly the Rashba, they claim that this halacha, this principle that we see here of Nachman, of Misfekel Onachtele Kedusha, is not halacha in Hegdesh, the way Reb Chaim says, nor is halacha in Chazakas, the way other Achronim say, but rather it's halacha in Erevin. It's an Erevin halacha, that a person, when he sets up an Erev, and he says, Hayom Chol Lumacha Kodesh, he wants his Erev to be Chal. And therefore, since he wants his Erev to be Chal, therefore he delays the Chalos Hegdesh until Vadei Laila, so that during Bein HaShmashos his Erev can be Chal. So we have really three different approaches to this one line in the Gemara of Hayom Chol Umacha Kodesh Misfekel Onachtele Kedusha. One is that we're dealing with the laws of Sfekos and Bein HaShmashos, and in Dini Bein HaShmashos we're going to apply Chazaka. The other way is approaching it Midin Hegdesh, that a person doesn't want his Hegdesh to be Chal until it's Vadei Hegdesh. That's Reb Chaim. And the third way, which is the Rashba and possibly Tosis as well, is that we're dealing with Dini Erevin, that the law of Hegdesh is now a spin-off of the halacha of Erev. And if he wants his Erev to be Chal, then we're going to reinterpret his Hegdesh. The only question that we have to raise is, in that, again, in the third approach, is let's take the case of Hayom Kodesh Ulamachar Chol. Now, Omar Leshlucho, he says to his Shliach, Eruvi li bekikar zeh. So obviously he wants the Eruv to be Chal. And now, we're going to apply a principle of Misvekel Opokale Kedusha Se Mineh. And now we're going to have to say the following, that even though he does indicate that he has vested interest in creating an Eruv, however, the halacha comes objectively with a principle called Misvekel Opokale Kedusha Mineh. And the way he formulated his Hegdesh, the Kedusha of the Kikar will maintain itself into Bein HaShmashos. And even though he wants to create an Eruv, but my friend, you made a big boo-boo over here because you created an Eruv with something that's also Bachilu, it's Hegdesh. And therefore the Eruv cannot be valid. So his intention and his interest in creating an Erev is not going to change the objective truth that Bein HaShmashos now is called Misvekel Opokale Hegdesh. You cannot be Mafkia Hegdesh by saying L'machar Chol, because L'machar Chol means after Bein HaShmashos. And why does L'machar Chol mean after Bein HaShmashos? Because Misvekel Opokale Kedusha Minei, that you can't be Mafkia Kedusha L'machar during Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos is not considered L'machar when you have a Chal Shem Hegdesh. So therefore, during Bein HaShmashos, he was Mariv, he made his Eruv with something that's Hegdesh and it's Osu Bachi. Tanan Hossam. Okay, now, Rav Osai, until now, I could tell you that my feet were on the ground. Now we get a little bit more into complicated issues about what's called a Tvul Yom. Now, the concept of Tvul Yom, which means that there was a tvila b'mikvah, but it was during the day, and you cannot remove tumah until harif shemesh, which is, by the way, the first sugya in Shas, in Memasai, Kodesh Shvabi Arvin, right? Anyway, the halach of tvul yom applies not just to a human being who contracted tumah like a balkeri, but it also applies to a keli. That if a keli becomes tameh and they put it into the mikvah, it still is not fully tar until Shkiyas HaChama, until Harif Shemesh. And the nafkamina is that if you pour truma into such a kli, which is a tful yom, then the truma becomes truma psula. I'm not sure if it becomes truma tmeya, but it becomes truma psula. Okay, now, lugin is another word for a flask or a utensil receptacle, and it contracted tumah, and now you put it into the mikveh, and it's a tful yom. And on that very day that it became tumah, you put it into the mikveh, it still hasn't achieved harei shemesh. And therefore, if you would pour truma into this lugin, it would now become posel. And shemilau mina chavis shel maser tevel. Now, what's maser tevel? That's a hyphenated word. Maser tevel. So the Yisrael is mafresh truma, and then with the remainder, he's mafresh maser. He delivers the maser over to the Levi, and the Levi is chayav to be mafresh trumas maser. So the maser in the hands of the Levi before he's mafresh trumas maser is called maser tevel. Now maser tevel is asur midin misa bidei shamayim. It's a very severe isur. And obviously, until the afrosh of Trumas Maser, this Maser cannot be used as an Eruv. Why? Because Tevel is Osir Bachila, therefore it's not called Mazon Shtei Sudos for an Eruv. The Omar, and now the Levi makes the following declaration. Hareze Trumas Maser Lishetechshach. So we're on Friday, and he says that the Yayin that is in this casket of wine should now become Trumas Maser on the Yayin in the Chavis. So again, he's got two things now. He's got Lugin, which is a tful yom, and he's got chavis, which is yayin, and that yayin is tevel. It's maser tevel. And he makes a declaration that the lugin, which is, as we said before, tful yom, and has to wait till Harav Shemesh, should become trumas maser, to be given to the Kohen. And when should the yayin in the lugin become trumas maser? Lichshetechshach. Now, at that moment, lichshetechshach, the lugin is now past its harif shemesh, and therefore it is tar. And if it's tar, right, then it can come in contact, let's say, with truma, and it doesn't disqualify the truma. Do you follow what went on over here? He took chulin that was in a kli, the status of which is a tful yom. He turns it into truma. Now wait a second, that's not good. That's not good news, right? Because the kli itself has a status with tful yom, which passels truma b'maga, and if he's got, let's say, yayin in this lugin, which is a tful yom lugin, then that yayin now should become passel as truma because it's a tful yom, and a kli that's a tful yom passels the truma that's within it. Nein. In this case, what did he do? He established that the chalos truma should be chal mishetechshach with nightfall, so that the moment that the truma is going to be chal is already the moment after Harif Shemesh, when the kli itself became a kli tar, because again he was tovel the kli during the day. So the Mishnah says in the fourth perek of Tful Yom, Dvarav Kayom, the truma is chal, again truma's maaser is chal at nighttime. And it's Truma Tahora, because the Kli itself now has passed its Harif Shemesh. Fine. That's the Reish of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, V'im omar ervu li be lugin zeh, be lugin zeh. Now he turns to his shliach, and he tells him that he wants to take this yayin that's in the lugin, and he wants him to designate it as what? As an eruv is lo omar klu. The eruv is not chal. Why? Mimadavshach. It can't be chal. At the moment of Bein HaShmoshos, it's tevel. Why? Because we're talking about maser before Hafrashas Trumas Maser. And tevel is also bachila. And at the end of this period of Bein HaShmoshos, when we get to Chashecha, at that point it became Truma. You understand what I'm saying? There's no... What word am I looking for? There's no middle transitional moment between the state of Tevel and the state of Truma. In order for this Erev to be valid, you'd have to have Chulin. Now, again, when I say that at nighttime it's Truma, that's really irrelevant to that discussion, because Truma is Mutter Bachila to Kohanim, and therefore could be a valid Eruv. Would it be a valid Eruv to a Zar? That's Machlokas Tanoim. Is it enough that I could say, well, I can't eat this Mazal Shtei Sudas, but I could give it to a Kohen? Is that enough or not? But all that is irrelevant. Why? Because we need that the Eruv be Heter Achila at the moment of Bein HaShmoshos. And since the Yayin in the Lugin, up until Chashecha, when it became Truma, is Tevel, because he hasn't yet been Mafrish Truma, then Tevel cannot serve as an Eruv. So the Eruv is now completely invalid. Now, when we learn this Mishnah, before Rava, we don't see any great earth-shattering chidushim in this Mishnah. I mean, you could say that the Mishnah is being mechadesh, that you can set up a Maisa Afroshes Truma on something which, in its present state, if all was equal, it would become Truma Psula. Because there's the Yayin that he's being mafresh as Truma, that the Levi is designating as Truma, is in a Tful Yom. But again, that's not a problem, because the Chaloshem Truma will only emerge with Lila, in which case the Kli is no longer Tful Yom. So what did Rava see in this mission? Amar Rava, since the Mishnah disqualifies the Eruv, Zosomeres, let's derive from this Mishnah that Sof Hayom is Kone Eruv. Okay, now let's figure this out. We have our Loch of Harev Shemesh. So the sun sets, and the Kli is now a Kli Tahar. If the Kli is Tahar, then the Truma is Chal, and the Erev should now be valid, at least according to those Tanoim, the Chachamim, that you could be Mafrish Truma, or let's say if the Kohen himself is setting up this Erev. Says Rava, there's a big chiddush here in this Mishnah that invalidates the Eruv, and that's called Sofayom Kona Eruv, which means that the Eruv has to make a kinyan, right, of Kona Shvisa, such that now he gets another another 2,000 Amma at Sofayom. At the moment of Sof Hayom, which is the beginning of Bein HaShmoshos, Right? Bein Hashmashos is a period of time. Okay, I don't know if that's true, but anyway, let's assume Bein Hashmashos is a period of time, according to most of the Shitas in the Gemara and in Bamei Madlikin, right? So it's a period of time. Now he wants to be Konish Visa. Is he Konish Visa at the beginning of Bein Hashmashos or at the end of Bein Hashmashos? Let's assume the beginning of Bein Hashmashos is what's called Tchilas Hashkia. And that Tchilas Hashkia is defined or classified as the moment, the critical moment in which he will be Konish Visa through this Eruv. And at that moment of time, the Yayin in the Lagin is Tevel. If you would have said the opposite, that the critical moment for being Konish Visa is Tchilas Hayom, meaning the end of Bein Hashmashos, which is the segue into Shabbos, that's the critical moment for being Kone Shvisa, for the Erev to become operative. Then, at that moment, it's no longer Tevel, because Tchilas Hayom is already after Bein Hashmashos, and it's after Harif Shemesh. And after Harif Shemesh, the Kli becomes Tar, and therefore the Truma is going to be Chal. And he can validate his Eruv through Truma. Right? The Mishnah disqualifies his Eruv because it's Tevel. Well, that makes sense if you hold that Sofayom Konish Visa. And again, it's a little confusing because Sofayom means Tchilas Bein Hashmashos. Sofayom means the first moment of Bein Hashmashos. At the first moment of Bein Hashmashos, he has to set up a valid Eruv to be Konish Visa. But at that moment, the status of the Lagin is still Tevel. However, and now we turn to Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, the Is Al Kedaita, Tchilas Hayom, means the Eruv has to be Konish Visa at the beginning of Shabbos, which is the end of Bein Hashmashos, is then Kone Eruv. Then we don't understand the Mishnah in Tful Yom. Why? Because the Mishnah disqualifies the Eruv, and the Eruv, in fact, is Kosher. Right? E Omar Eruv Li Bazeh, Milo Omar Klum. Why does the Mishnah disqualify the Yayin in the Lagin? It should be already Truma, because we got to the point where we passed Harev Shemesh. We're at the end of sunset. And at that moment, at the end of sunset, he has to be Kone Shvisa, if you hold Tchilas Hayom Kone. And his Erev would be valid, because at that point, the status of the Yayin changes from that of Chulin to become Truma. Or our puppet name, Afilu Tema Tchilas Hayom Kone Eruv. Even if I would grant you that the last moment of the day, meaning of Friday, which is the first moment of Bein Hashmashos, is the critical moment of being Kone Shvisa and validating your Eruv. Nevertheless, Be'inon Se'uda Re'uya Mibojom V'leka. Wow, this is a very lumdish sugya. What the Gemara is saying is that it's not enough to determine that you could be Kone Eruv at the end of Bein HaShmoshos, at the moment in which the status of the Truma changes, I'm sorry, the status of the Tevel, I should say, changes to that of Truma, and therefore at Chilas Hayom I can validate my Erev because it's Truma at that point. You're right, says Rav Papa, it is Truma. But nevertheless, the Erev is invalid. Why is that? Because he cannot eat the Erev. And that's called Be'inon Suda Re'uya Mivojom Vileka. And we have to hear differentiate between theoretical or conceptual Eruv and Lamaisa Eruv. Lamaisa, during the period of Bein HaShmoshos, he is not able to eat this Eruv. That's Lamaisa, because it has the status of Teva. Aye, the Aloch of Kinyan Shvisa doesn't apply until the end of Bein HaShmoshos, and at that moment in time, the Truma is Chal, because that's the end of Harif Shemesh, and the Kli is a Kli Tar, and he said, Mishatekshach, when the Kli becomes Tar, I want it to become Truma. So at that critical moment, when the Erev is Chal, to be Konish Visa, he already has Truma. So why does Rav Papa insist, and the Mishnah, that the Erev is Batal? The answer is because there's another Halach in Erevin. It's not enough that B'Tchilas Hayom you have what? You have Truma. You also need during Bein HaShmoshos a Heter Achila. And you don't have a Heter Achila to set up a Kinyan Shvisa. I mean, see, you and I would have said, well, during Bein HaShmoshos he's just putting down the Eruv. Right? It's like a Maisa HaNochas HaEruv. But I don't give a hoot what the status of this Eruv or the Mosen Shtei Sudas is during the period of HaNochas HaEruv. All I care is the moment of Kinyan Shvisa, when the Eruv is activated and it becomes a legal entity in order to expand his Tchum Shabbos. And that is only at the end of Bein HaShmoshos. Name. Says Rav Papa, during the period of Bein HaShmoshos, I need a Heter Achila. I need that his Eruv should be meaningful during this period of Bein HaShmoshos, the culmination of the Kinyan Makom Shvisa is going to Enoch Inami be at the end of Bein HaShmoshos, which he calls Tchilas Hayom, the last moment of Bein HaShmoshos. But the Eruv has to be valid B'Shas Hanocha, which is during the Bein HaShmoshos period. Now, in order to understand this, I have to read to you from the Yalkut Biurim, which is, I've mentioned this to you on numerous occasions, that the more in-depth understanding of the Masifta appears in the Yalkut HaBiurim. And we're talking about this concept called Seuda Re'uya. What does it mean that during Bein HaShmoshos we have to have a Seuda HaRe'uya? In the Masifta, he has three different quotes over here. One is the Chazon Yechezkel, the other is Rabbi Elchanan, and the third is the Gaon Yaakov. So if you can bear with me, let me just look at my clock. How much time do we have? Because I want to go through. Okay, so I'm not sure if we'll have enough time today to go through all these three. But let me begin with Rabbi Elchanan. Rabbi Elchanan says that we see from our Gemara that Tzorech HaErev Sheyia Roy L'Achila Bein HaShmoshos. And he says that in this case, we don't know exactly when the maser, I'm sorry, when the tevel becomes truma. So we have a problem now. During Ben Hashmoshes is a suda sheina ru'uya, because what is harev shemesh? You know, again, I don't want to get into this whole discussion about tchila shkia, sof shkia, you know what I'm talking about, right? But leave that all out for a moment. Just the main point is that it's unclear when is the transition between tameh and tar in the case of a tful yom, and therefore between tevel and truma in the login case. So a maisa, it's a suda shena re'uya during bein hashmoshos. Now, al pi halacha, it might be a suda re'uya, meaning chapishmaya galia. I mean, I'm just using this phrase, don't take me literally, because lo b'shamayim, but what I mean to say is that up in heaven, they know whether it's truma or not truma. Maybe it is, or it's already truma. But, says Rav Elchanan, it's a suda she'ena ru'uya. Why? Because I don't know whether it's tevel or truma. And I can't eat it. So whether Harif Shemesh starts with the beginning, the onset of Bein HaShmoshos, or Sof Shkia at the end of Bein HaShmoshos, there may be a clear-cut answer to that question, but I don't know the answer to that question. So the Heft itself, if you, again, Rabbi Chana doesn't use this term, might be Truma, and therefore it's a Suda Ru'uya, let's say for a Kohen, etc., etc. But Lamaisa, the Kohen, can't eat it. So on a level of Gavra is concerned, it's Eina Ru'uya LeGavra, because he doesn't know whether it's Truma or whether it's Teva. So Rabbi Chanan says, this contradicts a Sugyan Chulin. The Sugyan Chulin addresses the question of Kisui Adam. And he had a Shechita, and the Shechita was Safek Shera, Safek Nevela. So he cannot eat the meat, because he doesn't know if the Shechita is Kshera or not. And the Gemara says, in Masechta Chulin, that in such a case, it's called a Shechita She'ena Re'uya. And therefore he's potter from Kisui Adam. I'm sorry. So the Gemara asks, I got stuck on the Hava minute. So the Gemara says that a Shechita Sheina Ruya, let's say Apostle Shechita, you don't require Kisui Adam. Here, we don't know whether the Shechita was Apostle or Kosher. So you would say that on the tzad that it's a Shechita Psula, he's potter from Kisui Adam. So the Gemara says, nein. The Gemara says that since it's a Safek, and it could very well be that the Shechita is a Shechita Kshera, therefore you're chayav in Kisui Adam. Frekt Rebbe Elchanan, wait a second. Lamaisa, he can't eat from this meat, because for him it's a Safek. And the Mela, the Shechita is a Shechita Sheina Ruya. Why is it that in our Gemara, the Gemara insists that the Erev is Possel, because it's a Suda Sheina Ruya, when it may very well be in truth that the Erev is a valid Erev and the Truma is Chal and it's no longer Teva? But the answer is, we're going to put all the emphasis on Lamaisa, on the Gavra. In other words, is he able to eat this yayin, drink this yayin or not? And the answer is he cannot drink the yayin. And if he cannot drink the yayin, that's called a suda shena ruya. In shechita, we need a shechita ruya. Well, this is not a shechita ruya because he can't eat from the shechita. Who cares if chapishmaya galia, the shechita was a shechita kshera? I can't eat from the meat. And if I can't eat from the meat, then it's a shechita shena ruya. Just like in the case of the eruv, he can't drink this wine because he doesn't know if it's tevel or truma. Says Rabbi Chanan, Kevon shetzarich sheheya eruv roy befoal lachila. It's not enough that maybe the heft itself is roy lachila because maybe it's truma. He needs to be able to eat the eruv befoal, as he calls him. Is kasher hu asur when he's asur because of safek? Eino eruv. Masha'enkin, he says, in the case of Kisi Adam, there the definition of Kisi Adam depends upon the definition of the Shechita. It's not whether you can eat from the Shechita, but whether or not the Shechita is a Shechita Kshera. And since it may be very well true that the Shechita is a Shechita Kshera, we have no way of clarifying it, therefore he has a suffix whether he's Chayav and Kisi Adam. In the case of Eruv, it depends not on the conceptual definition of whether it's Truma or Chulin, or Tevel, I should say, but rather depends upon whether it's a Suda Ra'uya. Can he partake of the Suda when he sets it up as an Eruv during Bein HaShemashes? He doesn't know what the status is. And therefore, it's a Pasul Eruv. Masha Enkin, in the case of Kisi Adam, Rebbe Chanan says there it depends not on befall, whether I can eat and it makes it into a shechita ruya, but whether the shechita per se, in and of itself as a conceptual legal entity, is a shechita kshera, well, maybe it is a shechita kshera, and therefore he's chayav in kisi adna. All right, we didn't get to the Chazon Yechezkel, but that's what I wanted to share with you. At least we got through Rebbe Chanan. Let's point out that Rashi, in interpreting Tchilas Hayom Kona Eruv, understands that the Kenya begins at the first moment of Bein HaShemashes and it only completes itself in the last moment after Bein HaShemashes terminates. And what that means is that the Eruv is Chal only at the end of the Gemar Maisa Eruv. But the Eruv is Chal at the first moment of Laila, but you need a Maisa Eruv before that, which is somehow overlaps with what we call Bein HaShemashes. And again, we'd have to go through the Alkut Biurim or Be'iyun. What we're up to now is the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, which tries to clarify for us the possibility of putting an Erev Tchumen on Erev Shabbos in a situation that's not Vadai, and to make a Tanai that if during the course of Shabbos we would find out that we need the Erev, then L'mafreya, the Erev should be Chal already Bein HaShemashes of Erev Shabbos. And that's going to lead us to a discussion about other dinim of the Torah, for example, Afrash Tchumus of Maestros or Gittin, and it's called Brera. So that famous Sugya of Brera is right here in Masechta Eruv. And so Mr. Shem will pick that up tomorrow.